Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today is a second lesson on the subject of prayers for forgiveness. Now, we've already taken note that the Bible says nothing about praying the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. That's not God's plan of salvation, and all these false teachers on television and radio and so forth that teach just pray for your salvation, that's as false as a $3 bill. But there are prayers for the forgiveness of others, prayers that were uttered by people not for themselves, but prayers for the forgiveness of others. And we read such a prayer from Christ and from Stephen and from the Apostle Paul. Now let us listen more closely to what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was the Lord's attitude? Well, who can fail to acknowledge it? There was no hatred. There was no vengeful spirit. There was no cursing. There was no anger. But there was a prayer falling from his lips on behalf of the very ones who chose to be his enemies and persecutors. They sinned in murdering the Son of God, a sin far more terrible than they imagined because of its significance. But they were guilty and condemned in their sin. Yet Christ longed for their forgiveness and their freedom from that guilt. Now his prayer was not that they would be forgiven unconditionally. We're not to suppose that Christ means for the Father to forgive them even if they did not want forgiveness or seek forgiveness. He was not asking for forgiveness even while they were in rebellion and determined to pursue their own wicked ways. Has there ever been a time when God forgave sinners unconditionally? God has always had conditions for men to obey. We cannot recall one such occasion when God just forgave a person who was in a rebellious attitude toward him. God forgives those who seek his forgiveness. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. But indeed they must come and seek forgiveness from the Lord. The Lord ever remains willing to forgive. But you know, he does not force his blessings upon anybody. When the sinner will humble himself and will seek God's forgiveness by meeting God's conditions, the sinner will always find God willing to forgive. That's his mercy, that's his love, that's his grace. Forgiveness is conditioned, however, upon a recognition of sin and the need of forgiveness and the knowledge of the conditions that God has spelled and the compliance to those conditions. Friend, forgiveness is never outside or beyond God's will. That's the point we want to make in these lessons. Therefore, Christ was praying that his offenders would turn from their sins, would leave their wicked ways, would seize the opportunity to do God's will, and thereby be forgiven. You see, his attitude toward them was one of readiness, willingness, and desire for a full and complete pardon to take place on their behalf. And you know, in Acts chapter 2, some of the very persecutors of Christ heard Peter say, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." You know, when Peter preached that, he must have been very convincing. Those people believed what he had to say. Peter drew this conclusion: "Therefore let all the house of Israel know that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts chapter 2. Well, the opportunity was then open unto them for forgiveness. This was that for which Christ had prayed. And when Peter answered that question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did he say? Peter didn't say, pray a sinner's prayer. Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:37-38. Some 3,000 people, they responded obediently to what the Apostle Peter instructed. And the prayer of Jesus was that they might be forgiven. And this prayer was answered positively because they heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, they humbly submitted to the conditions that the inspired apostle taught them to do, and therefore they were forgiven. Well, what about the prayer of Stephen? You know, the prayer of Stephen for his enemies was very much like that of Christ, wasn't he? He said, may it not be laid to their charge, and they were throwing stones upon him to crush out his physical life. Stephen was a man full of faith. He was a preacher of truth, and by his message, however, he had aroused the enmity of his hearers. He was falsely accused, and he was brought before the Jewish council. His only defense was the continued proclamation of the indisputable truth. He compromised not one single matter, even in the face of danger. But what was their reaction? Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Acts 7:57-58. Why, this was most unbecoming for those of that august body of leaders, to be sure. Who could deny the impropriety and the injustice of this particular event? But Stephen prayed that it would not be laid to their charge. His reaction to their conduct was to pray that the Lord would not hold them responsible, that they could be forgiven. Well, did he not follow in the footsteps of Christ in doing this? Certainly he did. Was not his attitude toward his enemies a willingness to forgive? It certainly was. Was not that the kind of attitude that the Lord expects of those who follow him? It most certainly is. Now, Stephen was not asking God to do something against God's will. He was not asking God to disforgive them, even if they didn't want to be forgiven. He was not asking God to just bypass God's conditions of forgiveness. He was obviously praying the same way that Christ did. He was obviously praying that his persecutors might have opportunity to be delivered from their sins, and that their pride might be removed, and that they would be granted redemption by coming to the source of forgiveness. He was praying that they would do the things that God wanted done in order that they might be forgiven. But the stress we want to make here is that Stephen had, and he demonstrated, the Christ-like attitude toward those who hated him. That's the point we want to make. And you know, among those consenting to Stephen's death was this man named Saul of Tarsus. This man later was known as Paul the Apostle of Christ. He was holding the garments of those who did the actual stoning, and he was in agreement with the action, and he encouraged it. He possibly heard Stephen say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then we follow the life of this man, Saul. We see in him a literal fulfillment and a positive answer to Stephen's prayer. Paul became an outspoken advocate for the truth. Yes, he had been a persecutor of the Lord, as he persecuted the Lord's church, binding men and women and putting them in prison and speaking out against them, for he considered Christianity to be a rebellion against the way of God. he did not yet understand that the way that the Jews were following under the law of Moses had been fulfilled and taken out of the way by the Lord. Therefore, he was determined to stamp Christianity out in its very beginning. But nonetheless, he persecuted the Christian. He was willing to see Stephen stoned. And this resulted in a grave hardship for the Apostle Paul to make a change in his life, to turn from a persecutor of Christ to be a preacher of Christ. By championing the faith that he once sought to destroy, he brought the wrath of his former companions upon himself. He said, as we read earlier in 2 Timothy 4, "At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." You know, that's almost identically the things that Stephen had said that Paul had heard him pray. Late in Paul's life, when he was in prison, and he's in prison because of his faith in Christ, he wrote to Timothy. He expressed his great hope, recounting his faithful fight within and without the church. "I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith." He had given up all for the cause of Christ. And what had it brought him? Well, it brought him injury and heartache and prison, among other things. But it also enabled him to develop a Christ-likeness. As we consider his prayer for those who had forsaken him, does it not remind you of the prayer of Stephen and the prayer of Christ? A prayer which he likely heard from Stephen. It was a prayer like the prayer of Christ when he was on the cross. There was no rancor or bitterness, no desire for revenge against those who had turned against him. It was a prayer that showed his willingness to forgive, his desire that those who trespassed against him would not be held accountable. Is it possible for one who had been offended to have a more glorious and honorable and noble attitude than that? Well, friend, we can draw certain conclusions from these prayers of Christ and Stephen and Paul. Do we not see, first of all, in our Savior, in the nature of Christ, how his disposition to forgive is according to God's plan? He was praying that those who sinned against him would have that opportunity. Well, they did have that opportunity. The gospel was preached in the very city where Jesus was crucified and persecuted, and they obeyed the things that they were taught to do. But there's something else that we learn. We see that the one who sins must meet the conditions of forgiveness before he can receive forgiveness. The prayer of Christ and Stephen and Paul was not that God would set aside his will and his teaching. The sinner must meet the conditions. Friend, we must meet the conditions the Lord has given. He does not forgive us unconditionally. He will not force salvation upon us. The offended one must at all times have the attitude of heart to be forgiving, but the offender must also obey what he must obey in order to be forgiven. It's to the benefit of everybody to forgive those who trespass against us. After all, that's what the Father has done to those who are in Christ, and that's what the Father longs for everybody. That's why Jesus left heaven and came to this earth, to give even me and you of our trespasses, the trespasses that separate us from God, that we might live with God eternally. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.